The meeting with the good visitor would be the start of a new kind of life for me, but I did not know that then, and I did not feel any particular trepidation or excitement as I made the drive to Wells River. If anything, I was annoyed at myself for having agreed to the foolish errand. It was a few days before school let out. The sky was giving forth a steady, cold rain. Our weatherman, a bald bodybuilder named William Fiskewilly, referred to around the station as Willy Willy, lived for bad weather, so he was happy. After searching for 15 minutes, I found a parking spot half a mile out of town, and walked to Pete's with my umbrella flapping around and an expensive pair of shoes getting ruined. The only good side of all this was that by the time I came within sight of Pete's Cafe, I had worked up a healthy appetite and was ready for a serving of their excellent vegetarian lasagna. Plus, walking into the place always made me think of Zelda. Pete's was full of people with small shopping bags and pricey raincoats, everyone holding coffee cups with two hands and casting annoyed glances out the plate glass window. I had no idea what the self-described good visitor looked like, and honestly, at that point, I was hoping he wouldn't show. Pete's had a small main room and, at the back, a narrow veranda with floor-to-ceiling windows that could be taken down to screens when the weather was good. It was always quieter back there, and fewer people would stare at me or ask for autographs, so I made a zigzag run between chairs and grabbed a table at one end of the veranda, keeping my back to the room. In less than a minute, someone came and stood opposite me. Tall, broad-shouldered, with dark hair swept back from a high forehead and a rectangular, handsome face that showed a hint of South American Indian, this fellow might have been a typical Wells River architect or software entrepreneur, up from Universidad de los Andes with a daughter of an obstetrician wife and two beautiful kids back in their million-dollar contemporary. But he wasn't. How I knew he wasn't, I'm not sure. After a while, you develop a feeling for these things. The worst of my Wells River acquaintances, and I should say that I also had some good friends there, wore a self-congratulatory air, as if they had managed to tame this messy business we call life, and saw no reason to let their awareness of that grand achievement lapse while they were in public. I'm sorry, I'm being mean. I have my reasons. The reasons have to do with my first marriage, which ended badly and involved a young professional type, a Tai Chi master from Wells River. The point is that this guy opposite me did not seem perfectly at home in Wells River. There was a ribbon of roughness to him, just a touch around the eyes, as if life hadn't always been easy for him. The hair was black, the eyes a deep coffee with a little cream brown, the nose a sort of beak, the mouth wide and straight with the potential for a smile on it. Instead of a raincoat, uniform of the day, he was wearing a brown wool sport coat Wales would have been proud to be seen in, a tailored white shirt, and jeans, all perfectly dry. Most likely he'd left his umbrella at the door. "Do not get up," he said, when I made a move to. He held out his hand and gave me a firm shake. "Jesus," he said, pronouncing it the way I was used to, and then adding, "Jesus" to my Spanish-speaking friends. Russ Thomas. Jesus sat down. Before we could say anything else, the waitress came by, smiling as if she recognized me but was too cool to say so. "Veggie lasagna and a small salad?" I said. "Ranch on the side? Large cappuccino?" Jesus said. "Same." When she left us, he clasped his hands together on the table in front of him and leaned forward. He had a presence, I have to admit, and I noticed, or felt, this presence right from the first minute we were together, even though I was not exactly predisposed to liking him. There were no golden flashing eyes or shimmering facial bones, just a calm, confident, but humble way about him, as if he had set self-consciousness aside and was at peace with the person he presented to the world. You don't see that in people anymore. We've been fed so much information, what we should and shouldn't eat, should and shouldn't say, should and shouldn't think, the multifarious ways we should be feeling guilty about our lives in comparison with this or that suffering soul elsewhere on earth, that it's rare to come across someone who seems fully comfortable and unself-conscious in his or her daily life. I think in my parents' generation it was more common. Even now, my father can chow down a cold-cut sandwich and pinch my mother's rear end in the kitchen without once thinking about bad cholesterol, trans fats, or the objectification of women.